Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to Shane Beattie. It is Friday, the 4th of July at 6:31. Happy Independence Day if you're American. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking about the fundamental changes to the workplace that are underway, and we'll be looking at having a domestic robot at home and all the markets as usual. You can email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the seasoned and oft-sessioned company of Aidan Donnelly from Davies. Good morning, Aidan.
Good morning, Joseph. How are you?
Not too bad, Aidan. Any plans for the weekend?
A little bit of golf, maybe, weather permitting. That'll be about it. I won't be sailing my boat like some people were, you know.
Indeed. Yeah, no. I mean, if I had a boat, I would sail it. Put it that way. Let us start with those really strong exchequer numbers for June. Rumours of the end of the golden goose have been greatly exaggerated.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting. And I suppose if you were in any of the politicians' positions, you'd do exactly the same of tempering expectations. But as you said, they were a very good set of numbers. For the half year, tax rose up, tax income was up about 7% compared to the same period last year, even though, you know, when you look at the first half of this year, people would have been worried about economic growth concerns with the impact of tariffs and things like that. But when you look at the overall surplus, it was about 1.2 billion, which is obviously very good. Now, it is a decrease on last year. But again, when you factor everything in and also the Apple money, you're looking at a surplus of about 4.5 billion. And I think the interesting thing is when you look on the spending side of it, spending was up, but it does include about 3 billion of payments to the long-term savings funds, the state's two long-term savings funds. And obviously that's what has been said and that has been talked about for quite some time about using the money sensibly and putting it in away in different funds for potential problems down the line.
Yeah, and the Minister of Finance, the guy that's overseeing all this tax revenue, Pascal Donoghue, hasn't ruled out going for the top ECB job, though, has he? I mean, at the moment he's trying to get re-elected as the head of the Euro group, but he didn't really answer the question when asked about the ECB job.
You've interviewed him often enough. He doesn't really answer questions like that when it's in the realm of speculation. As he said himself, it was only speculation. But look, I think ultimately it'd be very unusual for a few reasons, you know. It tends to be somebody who has a central bank background that they're appointed in there. And as you say, he is trying to get re-elected for his current position as president of the Eurogroup. And I think the other thing too is, if you move directly from, say, a Eurogroup presidency or a national finance post into the ECB, it would cause questions about the ECB's independence from other European institutions, and that's obviously legally mandated. So, like, if you look in the past, people say, oh, well, you know, Lagarde was a French minister and she became head of the ECB. Yes, that's true, but she had a 8 years away as head of the IMF before getting that position. And, you know, Mario Draghi was a central banker. And so it was Claude Trichet and even, you know, Wim Duisenberg had been in the central bank, although he was a government minister much earlier in his career. So I think he's right. You never rule anything out, but I think he knows himself that it's highly unlikely.
Yeah, he does have competition for the top job at the Euro group, the Spanish have put out a very decent candidate up against him, their finance minister. So it'll be interesting to see whether he does retain his post at the top
Absolutely.
Of the Eurogroup. If he does, of course, he will be, you know, again, in front and centre in the European eye when it comes to these big jobs. So let's see what happens with Pascal. Now, staying with the EU, there is talk of joint debt issuance, something that the Germans ruled out for decades, but might not be ruling out in the future.
No, and look, I think this is always going to bubble up from time to time. I think there's an awful lot of legal issues around it. It's funny, you know, they're not ruling it out now when their economy maybe isn't as strong as everybody else's. Last time they were worried that, you know, the EU would raise all this money and you know, the likes of Italy and Spain and Portugal, who have less, let's just say, less fiscal control as a general rule, you know, if they basically turned around and said we've no money left, then the Germany would be left on the hook. So I think this time round, you know, you could argue that the playing field is much, much more level. But I think at the end of the day, I would say there's an awful lot of legal wrangling that you'd ultimately have to do with this. And you then, as I said to you, you know, where does the money be spent? Who ultimately is on the hook for it? All of these types of things. So while I think it'll be talked about, I'm never sure it'll actually ever come to fruition.
Let's move to China. China's not that happy about the trade deal between America and Vietnam.
No, they're not. They're probably not happy about one part of it, and that's the whole 40% levy on trans shipping. And what that basically means is that, you know, if Vietnam is used as a shipping hub rather than a manufacturing site, there's going to be a 40% levy on those goods rather than a 20% levy on that's on everything else. And what they're saying is that's kind of targeting China, because you would get an awful lot of trans shipping through, you know, stuff that's manufactured in China might be finished or might not even be finished in Vietnam before it's shipped on. So they're not happy about that. And what they're saying is that this deal is clearly aimed at China. They would have argued the same about the UK deal that was done with the US, that there was elements of it that was kind of trying to block China out of it. But I think ultimately what's going to be very difficult, even if you put that in place, is how do you identify exactly what transshipments are and how do you enforce it? And I think the Trump administration's ability to be able to trace and say that, you know, a certain consignment of goods actually just went through Vietnam rather than actually being manufactured in Vietnam is going to be very, very difficult to prove. But, you know, is this just another step in the ongoing negotiations that, remember, are still bubbling in the background and have another month and a bit before that deadline is up?
Well, there is, of course, the pause deadline, which is July the 9th, which is next week. It'd be interesting to see whether the European Union can get something over the line. There was a little bit of negativity yesterday from Ursula von der Leyen, but anyway, we'll wait and see. And the UK, now it has had a turbulent week politically, but also on the debt markets. Gilt yields spiked up 2 days ago when people saw the Chancellor of Exchequer in tears in the House of Commons, but they corrected a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I think the battle may be won, but the war has still to go on, definitely, with this story. And I think, look, at the crux of it, it doesn't really matter who the Chancellor is. At the crux of it is there's significant costs cutting that needs to go on in the UK government, because it just can't balance the budget. And if they want to borrow money, they've got to basically keep the gilt market or the bond market happy. And, you know, the one way you see how happy or otherwise the bond market is to look at the yields on gilts. Obviously, they got very worried the other day. It's come back a little bit. I would say this is far from over in terms of how this ultimately plays out. You know, we've obviously seen the Chancellor's going to stay in her post and things like that. But again, as I said to you, the crux of the issue here is the finances rather than necessarily who has their hand on the purse strings.
Yeah. Very interesting one to watch. Are you watching for anything specific next week when it comes to reporting and the Q2 reporting season, which starts next week?
I think it's going to be very interesting, the commentary. You know, we mentioned a second ago on tariffs. We have news out overnight now that Trump is going to start sending out letters to all his trading partners today, saying that tariffs are going to be between, you know, anywhere between 10 and 70% on the reciprocal tariffs. He's saying he's going to send out 10 to 12 letters today, with additional letters coming. So if that starts coming out and companies start getting a clearer line of sight on what the tariffs are going to be, I think it allows them to start talking about what their actions are going to be in this quarterly earnings season. We have seen forecasts definitely come back in. You know, at the start of the quarter, people would have expected about 9 or 10% earnings growth. That's down at 5 now. Now, again, it is growth, but it will mark the slowest growth overall since probably the third or the fourth quarter in 2023. So I think the numbers will be the numbers, but I do think what will be more important will be the commentary out of companies in terms of the back half. Do they start engaging with CapEx plans that they've put on hold? Do they start laying out plans for what tariffs are going to be like? With the Vietnam deal done, you know, there'll be a lot of them who use Vietnam as a sourcing. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see what they say on that.
Yeah. Have a great weekend, Aidan, and we'll talk to you again very soon. That is Aidan Donnelly there from Davies Stockbrokers.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.